a waste that comes with that, for sure.
Checking in with us right now in the studio, Trey Watkins. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You doing all right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, good.
So what did you think about Jill's comments about how the cavalry isn't coming and we've got to learn to buck up and protect ourselves?
Yeah, I think it highlights the importance and the how crucial it was for Youngkin to win that race, mm-hmm. to protect our Second Amendment rights. I think, building up safety and within our communities is part of his agenda. I think that'll definitely help. I'd be feeling very hopeless had Terry McAuliffe won that election. So
yeah.
We all got to pat ourselves on the back a little bit this morning.
Well, I hope.
But we still got a lot of work to do.
Well, there's a lot of work to do. Can't rest on the laurels.
Yeah.
And we have to pray that these other states are going to wake up as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it really has highlighted the importance. There's a power shift, I mean, being governor of a state has always been an important thing, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's ever been more important in modern times. If, I'm young, so I'm still catching up on some of the history, but as far as I can tell, man, a governor's race at this point mm-hmm. is very crucial. But safety is very important. I spent a lot of years in Baltimore, and I had never put safety at the top of my priority list in terms of things I thought were like the most important, mm-hmm. Education and all these other things and how I ranked them. It wasn't until I was in Baltimore where I realized that safety is by far the most important thing.
Yeah.
I worked with children who couldn't focus on doing work because mm-hmm. they were afraid, for their lives.
Yeah.
They didn't feel safe.
That's just...
Yeah, it's because things can get that bad.
Right.
When you don't have enough police officers, when you don't have, when you call 911 and no one's answering the phone, mm-hmm. Things can get a whole lot worse. And I've been saying this for a year. We're headed, unfortunately, we're headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You got, I think you were talking about South Boston, but Lynchburg, I know, is down almost 30 officers.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's only a few officers that's in the academy. It's not a good equation.
Mm-mm.
Well, and the headlines show it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
We see it.
Records.
It's record-breaking homicides, and, it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think that it's going to get a lot worse. Before it gets any better, because right now we just don't have a way. And I think that economically, with the inflation and gas prices and everything just getting so expensive, I hope I'm wrong, but I really think that this is only the beginning of that hurt mm-hmm. and struggle, and that we're in for a rough 2022, because there's no signs that the federal government is going to pivot.
Right.
They're never going to admit, mm-hmm. That they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's frustrating about the so-called crisis that we're in, across the board, it seems like, because they're all fixable.
Mm-hmm.
It's political pressure and political BS that keeps people.
Sure.
I mean, it keeps, our country this way, because they're not willing to admit that, Trump was right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Trump's policies did work.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
just looking
it's a good
at,
idea to
at
be,
your
you
bank
know.
Account and looking at our borders.
401k.
And looking at, Sleepy Joe and his best friend from China. There's just a lot of things to be concerned about. You were talking about Virginia. We are still waiting to hear on a couple of races.
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like the Republicans could hold a small majority,
mm-hmm.
But that could change depending on, it could be equally split, and that's not good.
Yeah, it's not going to be
good. That's what we've got going on right now with this infrastructure bill.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia lawmakers are split right down the party lines
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
on this $1.2 trillion bill.
Mm.
Yeah,
and Tim Kaine... Of course, we know where he's going to fall.
Yeah,
no doubt.
He is all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Even says, this has been a long time coming. We'll have a huge impact on our Commonwealth. Yeah, it will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to have. And our children and our children's children, our
right.
children's children's children.
Yep.
I mean,
That sounds like something Hillary Clinton would say.
Yeah, he says, oh, we're going to upgrade our roads and bridges. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I just talked to a young man the other day. He's in his mid-20s. They want to have kids. He's been married a couple of years. And we just, you know, it opened up for the conversation. I don't normally talk politics, believe that or not. That is the case. If you bring it up, I'm more than willing to join it. I said, look, it's not me it's going to affect. And it's going to affect you some, but it's definitely going to affect your kids when you have kids. They're just going to grow up in a country that is, we pretty soon will not even be able to service the interest on the debt. Forget the debt.
Right.
It's a certain percentage of the GDP now that just goes to pay the interest on the debt.
And
it's
that's
just insane.
Republican Congressman Bob Good responded to Kane's remarks going, this is ridiculous. This is a terrible bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't have the money for it. Only 10% is truly infrastructure in his whole Build America Back bullcrap.
Right.
He says it might be a big win temporarily, and it might be a win that Biden considers that to show he's finally accomplished something,
yeah.
But it is a big loss for our country, mm-hmm. and I think that's true.
And it'll take, you know, a generation or two to really see the bottom maybe fall out. I just can't help believe that the numbers are going up on our debt. When you see that clock, again, that's just what we're overspending that we're taking in. If the interest rates went off 2 or 3% more, yeah. then we're going even more. That clock's going to run a hell of a lot faster because it's going to be interest accumulating. Right now, the interest is in check, but the debt is still growing astronomically.
Right, and with rising oil prices and
yes.
supply chain like shortages, you know, how are we really generating, you know, so much of in our economy to do that, you know?
Yeah. yeah.
You know, that's, I mean, what are we really basing the numbers on in the past or where we are now or where we're going to be with all the things that's ahead of us that we know of, so.
Yeah. It's 7:50. We're going to take a break real quick here, Trey. Can you hang with us another segment?
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's the Thursday edition of The Morning Jam.
You put it on your toast and on the radio at daybreak. The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Try to protect yourself or your family, and we will charge you with murder. And while we're at it, we'll have the national media call you racist.
In the court of public opinion, they're really arguing that white men, especially white men with a gun, are allowed and have the space to defend and protect a country and a social order that keeps them at the top and a country that they stole from indigenous folks and built with black people's labor. The media is participating in perpetuating this charade because as far as I can tell, the only reason why any of this is allowed is because of the whiteness of it all.
So we got Trey Watkins in the studio.
Someone needs some Valium.
I can't believe how they've turned this whole Rittenhouser trial into about keeping the white man at the top. He can go out and shoot people. Mm. And the implication is constantly that these two victims were black. They are white. One was a sex offender.
And
pedophile.
Scum of the earth. And the other was a domestic violence.
Yeah.
Person.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a record as long, and one of them is on video screaming out the N-word.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, before he was shot.
Right, you couldn't make this stuff up.
Completely, you know, not okay and downplayed
mm-hmm.
by the lawyer.
Right.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
So I want to get a gut check from you, Trey, and you, Janet, as well, because this deliberation's been going on for over 2 days now. I mean, are they deliberating the case or are they deliberating, do we want to be responsible for, you know, Kenosha burning again? I'm just curious.
I think that part of me thinks that they're actually deliberating the case.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other part is like, you know, it's just the reality of it. You know, they didn't sequester the jury. So they know they can see what's mm-hmm. going on. They can hear what's going on.
Yep.
They can do their own research.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but
we see
how powerful the media is, though,
mm-hmm.
and how they shape the perception of what's going on and make you, you know, double.
But
you know.
anybody, I don't care what color they are, if they're a man or a woman, anybody who is genuinely taking serious, you know, imagining if they were in that position
mm-hmm.
I believe if they truly did their research, not looking at mainstream media, but looking at what's out there, the actual footage, you know, understanding who these two men were, how violent they were, how it is very likely that they came after him. I just can't imagine that they're gonna come back with a verdict.
Right.
A guilty verdict.
I mean, they haven't.
How can they?
The burden of proof was on them to show that, you know, he wasn't acting in self-defense. They've done nothing to prove that he wasn't.
That he wasn't.
Defending
right.
himself. As a matter of fact, the prosecution has almost made a better argument for the defendant than the defense lawyer has. It's
100%.
It's amazing.
And you know, guys, I don't know if you've ever served on a murder jury. I have. It just takes one person to stand their ground and say, absolutely not. This is not going to happen. I mean, I had that happen in my situation. There was one person who was going to let this blatant murderer go.
Right.
Yep.
And then there was, you know, me. I will tie myself to this table. Before this is going to happen.
Well, I hope this isn't the case, but that very well could be case with the one black juror that's, you know, on the trial.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine the pressure that person is feeling.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Considering
because
what's
off,
going on.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at how dirty the prosecution is playing this trial and how much of the outside influence is impacting it, it's hard to imagine that they haven't done something, you know, unethical or, you know, just illegitimate with the juror, you know, and putting the pressure on them.
They are
because
they
you
are
know.
Really called to step up and be very courageous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean to be able to, you know, like if you were on that jury, I'm sure you would, you know, make your choice and that's the way it is, and you would stand by it. Is this juror going to be brave enough to do that?
Right.
You know,
hopefully.
I don't know.
Hopefully, because we need it. We can't afford for, I don't care, riot, do whatever they do. I mean, it's not a good thing. I don't want it to happen, but I would much rather see see Rittenhouse rightfully be acquitted, you know, and riots happen opposed to, you know, him, you know, it's... We got to uphold the law. It's already getting hard enough. I was reading a thing the other day, and it was talking about the vaccine mandates, and the courts like upheld the, the suspension from OSHA, you know, but the Biden administration is still just like insisting that they're right. And it's like, even though the courts have gone through this process and made a determination, they still are like, nah, we can still do this. They did it with the housing, thing too. So it's our law is going to need to be upheld.
You have to wonder if that juror is going to feel almost insulted because they are kind of couching it like it's they were black men and they simply were not. So maybe that will play in. We did get a text saying the verdict will either be a green light or a red light for future riots.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's
true. It was two black people involved in this whole case. One black juror and Al Sharpton. That was it.
Lord.
It's like there's no other black people in the whole thing.
So messed up.
Lordy. Hey, it is almost 8 o'clock. Trey Watkins, do you have a couple more minutes? I want to play a Joy Reid bit for you in the next hour. I want to get your reaction.
Yeah, that's fine.
She did a TikTok video, and it's...
Oh, it's terrible.
Why must you punish him this way?
I'm sorry.
Well, it's your birthday.
Hey, it's my birthday.
Get that in.
Hey, why ain't nobody tell me, man? Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you.
And currently, we have temperatures in the 50s in part of our listening area. We have 51 in Lynchburg, 46 in Bedford, 47 in Salem and Roanoke, 50 in Danville.
Okay, I talked about it a little bit earlier. We have Trey Watkins in the studio. He's going to hang around for another segment
here. One of our favorites.
Yeah, and we have this TikTok video that Joy Reid put out yesterday. He's getting a lot of traction, and we're only going to play part of it because it's pretty painful. She is a left-wing journalist on MSNBC, and this is kind of her little take on what's going on with the Trey or the Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, trial.
So it's Kyle Rittenhouse trial. It reminded a lot of people of something. I just can't remember what it was. Oh, the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, in which Brett Kavanaugh, who had been accused by a high school friend of committing sexual abuse of her, cried his way through the hearings to make him a permanent member and associate justice of the United States Supreme Court. And his tears turned out to be more powerful than the tears of Christine Blasey Ford, which were the tears of an alleged victim. But in America, there's a thing about both white vigilantism and white tears, particularly male white tears. Really white tears in general, because that's what Karens are, right? They Karen out, and then as soon as they get caught, it's like, bring waterworks. White men can get away with that, too.
Anyway, I'm going to stop it there.
Yes, please.
The comparison to Brett Kavanaugh and tears, and I didn't know tears would make the difference whether you got on the Supreme Court or not, but apparently in her view.
And let me just tell you this. Any woman who has ever dealt with sexual harassment, mm-hmm. who has ever dealt with being attacked in that way,
right,
could see right through all of that.
Right.
Any woman who's ever truly experienced it could cry BS on her testimony during that scenario. And you could also see the earnestness with Kavanaugh. He was horrified that these things were being said about him. He mm-hmm. was just righteous indignation mm-hmm. was what I saw.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. I mean... They were ruining this guy's life. I've never seen somebody get dragged so much. I mean, I can't even imagine being him right now. And just trying to move forward after that. It seemed genuine to me. You know, but the thing with Joy, it's like, she's, first of all, male heroism is under full attack, and it makes me sick. Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Masculinity
stand it.
Yeah. in general yeah. is under attack.
It makes me sick. You know, I mean, I think about 9/11. I think about our military, the police, fire department. I mean, like, when they're talking about Rittenhouse in this way, you know, it's part of the defunded police agenda. Mm-hmm. It's part of the destruction of our institutions because they want to demonize people that think like him. You know, where it's like, man, I got to do something. I got to step up. I got to serve my country. I got to protect my city. I have to protect my family. And they want to demonize that type of thinking. And so when she says stuff like that, man, it just irks me so much. Mm. And then, too, like you said, I mean, I'm so fed up. It's pathetic. I'm so fed up with liberals constantly resorting to the race card
yeah.
and dividing people. Because they simply cannot, they can't win in any other way.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're so desperate,
right.
one, to get the media attention off of Biden. Two, they're so obsessed mm-hmm. with race. And it's done intentionally. It's just dividing this country and dividing our people. And they're just doing it in the worst way. I'm so tired of being a... You know, it's
well, as a man of color, I can't imagine. You just have to shake your head in disbelief and disgust. Like, come on, guys. I mean, the real problems are out there and you guys are dancing around over here where the dance is dead over there in all reality. I
yes.
mean, is there still racism? Sure there is. But at the level they keep talking about? No.
Man,
no way.
We are living in time. Racism has never been more irrelevant than today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, who wants to go around life as a victim?
Right.
Who wants that? Yeah. It's insulting.
Mm-hmm. And we have so many things we can point to. Like, didn't Obama get almost like twice as many white votes as right. John Kerry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Didn't yeah. we vote for a black president
twice?
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I mean, it's like, is that not?
I watched
at least some kind of indication, right?
I watched mm-hmm. a documentary on Rita Moreno this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A wildly successful woman, born in Puerto Rico, just critically acclaimed. She's won every fine art award you can win.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, Emmys, Tonys, the Kennedy Center, all of it. And in this documentary, it had. Obama talking about her, saying that she is the epitome of the American dream. Mm-hmm. That regardless of your background, regardless of the color of your skin, this is the one place in the world that you can come. And if you work hard enough and you strive hard enough, you will not be denied and you can be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where is that talking point?
Right.
Why isn't, I mean.
It's on our side. That's mm-hmm. that's Winsome Sears.
Yeah.
Right. I'm so proud of our state. I'm so proud of Virginia. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so proud of her.
I couldn't believe it was coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, yes, you're right, Obama. Yeah. Could we stay on that line of thinking?
Right.
You know.
I don't know.
I'm going to introduce one more thing since we got you for a few more minutes. Yeah. It doesn't directly have to do with race, but it could turn into a race kind of a thing. And it's kind of the rift between the vice president and the president's staff.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris trying to put a united front after an explosive report of a nasty feud between their staffs. Tensions are reportedly growing and their relationship is being called dysfunctional. Kamala's people are furious with Biden for sidelining her with all of the crummy no-win jobs, like being the face of the disaster at the southern border. And Biden's staff is upset with Harris over self-inflicted controversies and how she tries to awkwardly laugh off problems. So naturally, the White House is spinning like crazy and telling Americans that everything is just fine.
I can tell you that there's been a lot of reports out there and they don't reflect his view or our experience with the vice president. I know that the president relies on the vice president for her advice, for her counsel. She's not looking for a cushy role here.
She's doing a magnificent job. By the way, in that report, I'm quoted as saying what I believe, which is that there's no vice president I've seen that's gotten off to a faster start than Vice President Harris.
So, Dana, Prime Minister Klain says that he's quoted and therefore everything is going just fine.
So this is one of those things, that's, again, where the White House is expecting you to just not believe what you're seeing. You can tell that there's a problem here. We all know it. They called a cabinet meeting for the first time in 3 months last Friday on the day where Kamala Harris was not even in the country. And then that weekend is when the stories started coming out. And it's not the first time. All the stories that ever come out about Kamala Harris start in the House, like inside the team. This time it's like within the White House. And you could tell in the CNN reporting that these are people who are either close to the Bidens or worked for Harris and didn't get hired in the White House. They might be bitter or something. But then the other thing that they do is they complain that how dare they defend Mayor Pete, the white man, over defending her more. So then Jen Psaki's like, fine, okay, I'll throw out a little tweet, and this just made it worse. I don't think that this is going to get much better anytime soon. And I would point you to Brett Baer's podcast today. Chad Pergram was on, and he said something, can I just point it out to you here? He said that they are preparing something in Congress that they have not done in many, many years. Basically, it's about the process by which you go about confirming a new vice president.
Isn't that interesting?
Man, that's
they're
the
looking
best
into
I've
that.
Heard all week.
Yeah, I mean, do you imagine? Okay, whether she's doing a good job, and we talked about this off the air. She was at a Move On forum mm-hmm. on stage. She is the frickin' vice president of the country, and they let some ass come up on the stage, walk up to the vice president, and take her microphone. Trey, I don't know how he wasn't tackled 25 feet. Before he even got that close to our vice president. I don't agree with her politics, but she's one of the most powerful people in the world. How in the world did Secret Service not tackle that
and
idiot?
And good Lord, if we lose her, look what we'll be stuck with. I mean, come
well,
on.
Well, Nancy's in line next. I mean, come on.
Right.
The point is, if she is somehow taken out of that position, I see the Democratic Party, they may literally lose their mind. I mean, there's people in the party that will go bonkers because they still think she is the next version of, you know, of Obama when she's not even close. And Obama was, we can all have our opinions of Obama, but he was our president for 8 years. And Kamala Harris could not handle even what Obama was able to handle.
No.
In my opinion.
I think it's, there shouldn't even be a comparison between Obama and Kamala.
Yeah,
we can disagree with all the policies.
Yeah.
They're not even in the same category.
But they take her out. What do you think the fallout is among the Democrats?
I don't know because it's. I don't think that they actually. I'm not sure if they actually believe that she's doing a good job or mm-hmm. that she's qualified. I mean, everyone can see it.
I think that's it.
Right.
I really am shocked at how incompetent she is. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, well, you would think, if anything, these things that they've given her, mm-hmm. she could have really rolled up her sleeves and, you know,
made a difference.
Gone to work and made a difference. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing is getting done.
Right.
No. And I think every time that they do that, they're just getting, here's a little bit more rope.
Right.
Here's a little bit more rope.
Yeah.
You know, because she's hanging herself up on mm-hmm. this whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I look at when I think of Kamala Harris, you know, I go back to the primaries. Mm-hmm. One, Joe Biden chose Kamala Harris as his vice president, I'm like, how could it possibly work? This is somebody that has stood on stage and accused you of not only being a racist,
right.
but a rapist.
Yeah.
I don't know how a relationship could ever really
develop,
you know,
from
develop
there. Yeah.
From there. One. Two, Kamala Harris is a California congresswoman, you know, super radical.
And
it never seemed like it was her that was, you know, that she was carrying out her own agenda, but basically carrying out Bernie's agenda.
Right.
And then, like, nothing that she's been put in charge of, I mean, there isn't a fixable, there's no way for you to actually, it's a lose-lose, in other
right,
words.
Right, right.
There's no way for you to actually go down to the board. There's mm-hmm. nothing that Kamala Harris could do going down to the border that's going to solve that problem. The problem is solved with the policies.
Right.
It was already solved.
Yeah,
you came in and deliberately ruined the policy.
Undid it.
So it's like they're putting her in positions to where she can't win.
Yeah.
And that's on top of mm-hmm. her already clear incompetence.
Right.
And she's been set up for failure from the beginning
right.
because she never should have been chosen
mm-hmm.
as vice president anyway.
Right.
And it just shows how far the liberals are willing to go.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of race baiting and divisiveness and this equity crap,
right.
you know, to bring her in to win the election,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then set her up to fail so that you can figure out a way to get her out of there. It's like, now we don't need you no more.
Right. That's you know, right. We're
like,
done with you.
Yeah, I mean.
Which, I mean, honestly, that's racist.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is the most racist stuff ever.
Ever.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, she dropped out of the primaries before she even got to her home state of California.
Right, right.
Because she was going to get so embarrassed because nobody knows her more than Californians.
Sure.
Right. You know.
And they're like, we're going to take a hard pass on that one.
Nah, no thank you.
All right.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's Kamala's, it's, to say that, I mean, like, they still try to defend her. And, like, imagine if this administration got the same media coverage as Trump. You know, like, we don't hear any leaks. Like, this
no,
is like just
is
a couple leaks. I mean,
right.
you were getting leaks from the Trump before they even went in the White House.
Sure.
Like, I mean,
you were getting the transcript from the phone call he'd make to the prime minister of filling the country.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
It was amazing.
Imagine, like, this is how bad Biden's doing. It's just putting into perspective how bad this administration really is.
Yeah.
Because they're not even in this society where we have access to media, access to news, like the Trump era, you know, like where news just rapidly, 24/7. We're still in that era.
Sure.
And they're doing this bad, but they're protected by the media.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Imagine like how bad things really are, the things that we don't hear about. You know, if Trump, you know, had made a bad facial expression or said wrong word in a private meeting, it'd be on the headline.
He got a
bigger
scoop of ice cream than somebody else did. I mean, it went that far. Trey, we'll have to say some more for next week, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for joining us. Hey, when we come back, well, we have got, there's a new vaccine trial going on that I find very fascinating.
Okay.
And no, it's not about COVID.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8:21.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark. Mornings 6 to 9 a.m.